a little late, so good night, folks.
Talk to you all afternoon if we had a bottle and a place to sit down.
Machine. Give me my machine. 9:07 in the morning. Good morning. Welcome, Mike Murphy program. Here we go. On Friday. Okay, you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right, what are we going to do on the show today? We have two people talking about the same thing.
Well, not quite the same thing. Christy Diamond's going to talk about the mercury amalgam fillings in your teeth. And Boyd, Boyd Haley, is that his name?
Yeah.
I want to say Boyd Hood, and he was first trumpet player in the Eastman Wind Ensemble. And Boyd Haley is going to talk about the Gulf War syndrome. He also had dresses. He's also been in congressional hearings against the American Dental Association regarding this. But he also discusses this Gulf War stuff, and I should have an article for you. You should have a USA Today article in there somewhere with you about the Gulf War guys.
Okay, well, so that's what we're going to do. Mercury. I want all the dentists to be listening to the show today. If you know a dentist, call them, tell them to listen to this. Because this is all about this mercury in people's teeth that they put in. I don't know whether they still do it or not.
I don't know. I think they do in some cases.
Okay, it's 13 minutes after 9 on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
It's more with Mike Murphy on Kansas City's talk station, Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Is mercury poisoning you and your kids? The hidden danger in dental fillings and vaccines. Uninformed consent. Mercury, a slow death, is a powerful historical expose documenting organized efforts to withhold vital information from the American public concerning the number one toxic chemical being exercised from the environment today, mercury. It is implanted in the mouths of over 90% of America in two routine health procedures, amalgam dental fillings and vaccines. I had this woman on the show a few months ago, and we really got the phone ringing here. And she is Christy Diamond. Christy, are you there?
I'm here.
Where are you, Christy?
I'm out in the Seattle area.
Yeah, that's right. When were you on with me? Do you remember when that was?
I think it was April 29th, I think, was the date.
Did you hear from a lot of people?
Oh, tons. For weeks.
I mean, literally
weeks, people were calling me, lots of sick people especially. Where do I go? Where do I go to get the stuff out of my mouth? I know I've been poisoned by this. I knew before I was even listening on the show. A lot of people told me how wonderful you were, by the way.
They did?
Oh, God, you've got great fans out there.
Well, you know, we try to help people.
Well, you're doing a good job. Yeah, I mean, this really got the word out. I think it was a turning point for everyone.
Well,
you know, that video has it has a picture or you know videotape of mercury vapor coming off a mercury amalgam filling, and it looks just like a cigarette smoke trail. And you know, up until the time that I released that video, the American Dental Association was telling everybody that, oh, no, 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 it binds with the other metals, it doesn't off-gas, there's no danger, but it comes to the dentist in a hazardous waste box.
Yes, it does.
And it leaves the dentist's office in a hazardous waste box, too, except for the stuff that they put down the drain, which is polluting our biosolids.
Goodness.
It's really, you know, sometimes I have to stop and take a breath because even though I'm pretty immersed in it, it's hard to even imagine how pervasive and how far it has gone in our environment and with human beings It's just, it's awful.
When I was a kid, when I was in school, we used to play with it. We'd take it out of the vials and put it in our hands and run it back and forth from hand to hand.
Oh, yeah. I did, too. I remember my older brother milking it out of Cinnabar.
Yeah.
You know, nobody really was aware of how dangerous it was, and that was a tremendous, colossal exposure when we all did that. This is a bioaccumulative poison, so you don't usually get sick right away. You get sick because your body can't get rid of it as fast as you're absorbing it, and so at a certain point, you reach a point of no return, and all of a sudden, boom, you got cancer, boom, you got a heart attack, you know, boom, you got chronic fatigue. Gulf War disease is part of that because you've got, you know, a veteran that's got mercury in their mouth, and then they vaccinate the bejeemies out of these guys, mm-hmm. and these vaccines have mercury in them.
Is that right? I didn't realize that.
It's got ethyl mercury, and so you have this huge affront to their immune system, and then they're putting these live viruses in, you know, sometimes, you know, 9, 10, I've heard rumors 20, all at once, and then they send them off to war.
Who's behind all this?
Well, of course, you know, you and I don't know for sure, but we can certainly speculate that who would it benefit? You know, the only people...
Oh, I don't know who makes mercury.
Well, it's not just the mercury. I think it's what the mercury does. And what the mercury does is it dumbs down the population. And
oh, don't tell me that.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tell you that.
I mean, we've all seen the population be dumbed down, and we know that's going on.
Well, it destroys brain neurons.
Okay, what about autistic kids?
There's this huge relationship between mothers who have amalgam fillings in their mouth, and then the child is vaccinated, and boom, at about 44 weeks, they become autistic.
We never had autistic kids 30,
yeah,
40,
it was like
40
one
years
in
ago.
It was like 1 in 10,000 in the 1930s, and that was really about the time that they started introducing ethyl mercury to vaccines. And it's never been tested. It's not safe. Even the manufacturer says it's toxic right on the bottle.
What vaccines is it in? Is it in all of them?
Well, currently, I think that they're attempting to take them out because Congressman Dan Burton and Diane Watson have raised such a stink about it. But it was in almost all of them prior to this year.
What about now? There's a big campaign to get flu shots.
The flu shots, to my knowledge, have ethyl mercury in them. They use it as a preservative. The EPA has it listed as a pesticide, the very same form of mercury. If you go on the EPA site, you'll find it. Look up ethyl mercury.
What are you hearing from people?
What am I hearing? That they're sick and they want to get well.
Hmm.
I watched the vaccine hearings in November when they put the, Frisk put the, apparently was behind putting the amendments to protect the large pharmaceutical industries from any kind of claims or litigation, past, present, or future, that was tacked on the last moment after everybody had reviewed the Homeland Security bill, and the president signed it in. And then there was a very quiet deal made in January and February to remove it, but Frisk is already trying to get it on another bill. And that would essentially kick all the autistic kids that you know, the parents feel that they've been damaged by vaccines out on the street. Any actions that have been brought to get damages, or even in the, there was a vaccine compensation program that the Committee for Government Reform put in, where there was a, I think it was like 10 cents per vaccine to compensate children who were injured by these vaccines. And they had, at that point, no one had even seen a dime of it. And they had, I don't know, like 250,000 or a million or something in that fund.
Hmm.
And the kids had to, their parents had to go to court. I mean, many of them mortgaged their houses and everything to hire attorneys to go to court so they could get compensation, because taking care of these kids is a huge financial burden.
Sure it is.
Not to mention the emotional stuff that these people go through.
Did you ever hear of a woman named Joyce Riley?
I think you were telling me about her the last time
she started this a long time ago. with the Gulf War guys.
Yeah.
And that all their babies were being deformed, born deformed, and the sickness that they were suffering, and they couldn't find it anywhere, what it was. And she traced it to these vaccines. And, you know, if you didn't take those, if you refused to take those vaccines, you went to jail.
That's, well, they still won't let you serve. I mean, my eldest daughter looked into it because she was just coming out of college when 9/11 happened, and there wasn't one branch of the service that would take her without her being vaccinated.
Now, I find that strange.
We looked at it, because if she had been vaccinated, because, you know, I was so poisoned myself and I passed it on to my kids, it would have killed her if she'd been vaccinated. But she wanted to serve our country, but she couldn't do it because they wouldn't allow her to come in without a vaccine.
Isn't that something?
I was just incredulous about that.
All right. We got a break here, Christy, and we'll be right back to you, all right?
All righty.
Okay, now you hang by your thumbs.
Okay.
And then we'll be back. I want to get some calls in here for you, okay?
Okay, good.
We'll talk about your video and whatever else you want to do.
With okay.
Christy Diamond here with me and Uninformed Consent. On Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
You can talk to the legendary Mike Murphy right now, right here on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
All right, you folks, jump into this. This is about fillings in your teeth, mercury fillings in your teeth. Uninformed Consent. Christy Diamond is here with me, and you can get this. She has a video out. Is mercury poisoning you and your children? The hidden danger in dental fillings and vaccines. Christy, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, did you hang by your thumbs?
Well, kind of.
During the break?
I started to slip. But...
Okay. how's your video doing?
My video's doing very well. You know, we delivered it to every member of Congress, along with the bill to ban the use of mercury in mercury amalgam. And that bill was sponsored by Diane Watson from California and Dan Burton from Illinois, which is real unusual because she's a junior Democrat and he's a old Republican, and it is truly a bipartisan issue. And I learned a lot about politics going back there.
Well, what did they say about this?
What does who say?
These senators and politicians.
Well, you know, some of them are real quiet, and then all of a sudden I notice that I get a lot of hits from the ADA, the American Dental Association, on my website.
Okay, what does the dentist say? What are they saying about it?
Well, some of them actually go into a rage and call me names. And they say, oh, the American Dental Association is right. How dare you? You are an anti-amalgamist so-and-so. One of them actually on an email used profanity and signed his name to it.
Listen, we have, I want to come back there with you, but we have a call from Atlanta.
Okay.
I want to get in here. Linda, are you listening on the web? Linda?
Huh?
Are you?
No, I'm not.
How are you calling from Atlanta?
How am I?
Yeah.
On my cell phone.
How are you hearing this show in Atlanta?
Oh, I'm not hearing it. My mother called me.
She did.
And she was listening to your show. She's in Kansas City. And she called and said she thought that I should call.
Okay, good. Okay, tell us your story here. This is Christy Diamond you're talking to.
Okay. In 1991, I was diagnosed with MS. I was having attacks every 3 to 4 months, and they did all the normal stuff, the steroids and the all that. And I was on the beta seron for 5 years, gave myself injections. And then I went through all this alternative testing. I decided to go down a different road and had my hair tested and found out that I was high in mercury.
Mm.
So I went to a dentist who specialized in the safe removal of amalgam fillings. Mm-hmm. And by the way, my husband's a certified industrial hygienist. And he was testing my mouth with a mercury vapor analyzer.
And what did it show?
Showed very high levels.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was testing his, too, and his were actually higher than mine, but he wasn't having any health effects from it. But I'd had my fillings since I was a little kid.
Yeah, so what'd you do?
I had them removed 3 years ago, and all my symptoms disappeared.
Is that right?
And I've gone through chelation a little bit and doing a bit of the infrared saunas. That pulls it out, too. So, but it's been quite a different world since 3 years ago.
So what would you say to anybody?
What would I say? I would say have your hair tested and see what kind of levels of heavy metals are in your blood or in your hair, because mercury will affect everybody differently since our DNAs are all different. It won't always show up as MS. It may show up as like fibromyalgia or something.
Well, it seems like everybody you talk to, the women, all have fibromyalgia.
Yeah, I have that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Linda.
Okay.
Yeah, now that was nice of you to call here. I appreciate it.
Well, good luck with getting the word out there.
Okay, now, now you can listen to this on the web if you have a computer. We're 710kcmo.com.
Okay, great.
And you have a good weekend.
You too.
Okay, 576-7710 is the number here, and... Christy, are you there?
I'm there. That's a common story, by the way. I hear that all the time. If you have a revision, is what we call it, done properly by a dentist who's been trained in these procedures, and they're very cutting edge, and you go through heavy metal detoxification, often you'll get completely better. And I actually know a lot of MS patients.
Okay, I want you to tell your story. We haven't heard your story yet.
Oh, my story.
Well, we'll do that when we get back, okay?
Okay.
And we'll be right back here with Christy Diamond on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
KCMO Afternoon News is your comprehensive news and information source this afternoon at 5 on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
All right, 9:44 with Christy Diamond, and we're talking about mercury poisoning in your teeth. To me, in my skull, it was always that, yeah, the dentist said this was right, and that they were saying, come in, and we'll take them all out. And that isn't right, but I thought everybody had agreed that it was poisoning people, and to get your mercury fillings taken out. And that isn't right, is it, Christy? Hello?
Hey, the music is on. There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't hear the last part there.
Well, what I was saying was, I thought Dennis... all said, yeah, that they realized that it was mercury's poisoning people, come in and have them all taken out. But that's not right.
Well, no. Actually, what's happening is the consumer market is realizing for themselves that this is chemically absurd to represent that it doesn't off-gas, that it's safe. And so they're going in and they're asking their dentist to take it out. And these dentists, like any good business person, are going, oops, I'm losing clientele. And they've had a huge investment in their practice and so forth. And so all of a sudden, many of them are becoming mercury-free dentists. Now, just because someone says they're mercury-free and they say they know how to drill them out, which they probably physically know how to drill them out, doesn't mean that they use safe protocols. And that is a secondary danger that we have going on right now as we speak, because if you go in and you have it taken out by a dentist who doesn't have a negative ion generator, who doesn't use the correct speed on his drill or put enough water on it, doesn't use protective clothing or put a rubber dam on your mouth, on and on and on, you're taking a huge chance on getting a colossal exposure. You're going to get an exposure when you have it removed anyway.
Is that right?
Absolutely. There's no way to contain that stuff. You might as well think of it like it's radioactive substance.
My goodness.
Because, the only thing that's more poisonous than mercury on the face of the planet is radioactive elements. I mean, other than chemicals, of course, but as far as naturally occurring substances.
Well, why are all these people getting Botox injected into their faces? Explain that one.
Well, I suppose that they're, have been convinced that it's safe. I wouldn't know.
Why, that's the most dangerous stuff that there is on Earth.
I would never do it either.
And they say, oh, it's safe. Yeah.
It's safe. It's kind of like you know, thimerosal safe to inject into a little baby that doesn't have a digestive system.
Boy, this is weird what we put in ourselves, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Let's go.
And
to...
not only that, but, you know, your body's trying to get rid of it, and so we excrete into our biosolids, and then our utilities across the nation, this has happened in Washington, too, across the nation, utilities have been, for decades, they have been reconditioning their waste. They call it sludge, and then they give it to the farmers. They've been, in Washington State, they have a partnership with the Department of Forestry, and they've been spreading it out on the forestry, and it's just reeking of heavy metals and mercury, of course. And then all of a sudden, we've got all these warnings about don't eat fish. And they tell, oh, don't eat fish. It's dangerous for pregnant women. It's dangerous. Well, where did the fish get the mercury? That's how the fish got the mercury.
Let's go to Virginia here. Virginia?
Good morning. Thanks for a great guest.
You're on KCMO. Good morning to you.
My history with mercury is I had all my amalgam fillings removed, and there is a local dentist in Raytown that does use the correct protocol to take the amalgam fillings out of your mouth. And I have been diagnosed with a heavy mercury contamination. Any alternative doctor starts with a hair test, and then they have a sophisticated urine test that they follow up with. The places that I know that you can get mercury besides your teeth and the fish, which are deep water fish. Salmon is okay, but canned tuna, albacore tuna, and also any halibut, any of the deep water fish.
No, don't tell me that. Do you know tuna is the number one food product sales-wise in this country?
But it almost killed me. My symptoms were horrific joint pain.
From tuna?
From the mercury contamination.
You don't know
if
where it came.
Go on the internet.
Yeah, mercury will do that, Mike.
And put mercury toxification or mercury contamination in the search engine, you can read for a whole day. And the other thing that happened is my blood pressure went up into dangerous levels, the joint pain, ringing in my ears, a very bad depression, and you get it also, if you read the back of your underarm deodorant, it is 19% aluminum, something or other. The baking powder that we get in the store, some brands have aluminum in it, and then these manufacturers are putting all this aluminum in ready, you know, box cakes and anything.
Well, that's what they say. They're saying Alzheimer's comes from aluminum pans, food that's cooked in aluminum pans.
Well, it also comes, you do not excrete mercury out of your system. And usually aluminum and mercury and they all kind of go hand in hand. Now, I was higher in one but still had red flags with the others. And thank God that I go to an alternative doctor. And presently I'm being treated in Tulsa because the doctor in Tulsa is the guru that teaches it all in the United States and all over the world. They do it with IV infusions and a great amount of oral vitamins and minerals.
How are you now?
Pardon me?
How are you now?
I'm feeling better, but I have not. I'm probably only 50% through the treatment.
Is that right?
And if I would have gone to a regular doctor, I would have been diagnosed with the same autoimmune system diseases that women get. And it also does a bad number on your immune system. And if you don't take care of it, it will kill you. It gets into your liver and all your major organs.
Okay. All right, Virginia, thanks for calling. I really appreciate your input here.
Thank you.
And there's a woman there, Christy, that knows what she's talking about like you do.
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
And I just wanted to add,
I got to run here and do this break, or I'm going to be in a mess. I'll be right back. You pick up there where you want to, okay?
Alrighty.
All right, 9:51 on Talk Radio 710 KCMA.
Get all the news and all the newsmakers. Kansas City's own Mike Murphy.
The weasel, pop, go, the weasel.
On Kansas City's own talk station, Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Okay. Uninformed consent with Christy Diamond is here with me from Seattle, and calls coming in from all over the world this morning. Christy, are you there?
I'm here.
You wanted to say something here before we broke.
Yes, I wanted to add to that last caller when she was talking about the metals. Often people have more than just mercury. They often have, you know, 10 or 15 other metals. And what studies have found is if you introduce just one other metal to mercury, it will exacerbate it by 100 times. And what that means is if you had 100 rats and you expose them all to mercury, one of them will probably die, the rest might be sick. But if you had 100 rats, you exposed them to mercury and one other metal, they'd all die.
Is that right?
And so if you can imagine what would happen if you added two more metals or three more metals or four more metals, and those fillings are, you know, all of the elements in those fillings are poisonous. They're just not all liquid like mercury is at body temperature. So we've got a synergistic thing going with, for example, aluminum. Now, when you get Dr. Haley on there, he's actually done a test on the birth hair of autistic children, which is really fascinating.
Okay, now you know Dr. Haley.
I do.
Now, he's going to be on with me in the next hour.
Yes.
But I want you to stay on until about 10:15 our time. Can you do that?
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay. So, yep. And then we'll have him on in the next hour.
Okay. That sounds great.
He sounds like he is very, very smart.
He's got four PhDs.
Boy, I guess. He teaches at Yale or?
University of Kentucky. He's the chair at the University of Kentucky, and he's very active worldwide. He's debated with the American Dental Association. He's brought that smoking tooth video with him and really made a huge difference in the community awareness.
Okay, what had happened to you?
Well, I had fillings placed when I was in second grade.
Yeah.
And I noticed right away there was a change, but it was only a very minuscule change. I went from being in the top one percentile of my little second grade class to being in the top five percentile. So, you know, what does it hurt, right? I didn't know it was a matter. I just thought that I was losing some of my memory.
I mean, you were aware of that when you were 7 years old?
I was aware of it, but I didn't know it was the fillings. I had no idea. I just thought I was dumb. And I went through school thinking I was dumb. I was able to come out of it, but I had health problems. I had menstrual problems mostly at first. And by the time I was in my early 20s, I had endometriosis, and I was developing I had a huge cyst on my right ovary, which I had operated on. And then it progressed into having, short-term memory loss and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and arthritis.
Lord.
And I was so tired. While my youngest child was still in high school, I was so tired, it was all I could do to crawl out of bed to use the bathroom. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I finally, with a lot of beating the bushes, getting on the internet, talking to people, reading and reading and reading, I finally figured out that I must be metal poisoned. And then I started to address that. But then, of course, I wasn't functioning as a normal person, and I was financially in trouble, which is a real common. It goes hand in hand with somebody who's been poisoned. And so where do you get the money to have a revision done? And I found a dentist who was able to take payments, and he'd removed the fillings. Now, I had them removed in the 80s, but the dentist didn't tell me the truth, and he left stuff in there and actually made my problem worse. And so it was up until like 1997, 98, where I finally had most of it removed. I'm still dealing with the ramifications of it, by the way. I probably will never have a complete 100% health back.
Have you met this Dr. Haley?
Yes, I have.
Does he agree that this is what happened to you and what you say is all right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a common story. It's very common. I detoxified, I did chelation therapy and detoxified the metals out of my body.
Why don't the medical profession get involved in this?
I don't know. Mike, it you follow the breadcrumbs of money. You know, that's sort of my day job, is a financial consultant. And if you follow the money trail, that's usually where it ends up. And, the only thing I say to you is full hospital beds are good business.
All right. Christy, I'll be right back to you. We'll have about 5 minutes here, okay?
Okay.
Then we'll be back and we'll do some more, and then I'll have Dr. Haley come on.
Great.
All right, Christy Diamond here with me, Uninformed Consent on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
This is where Kansas City comes to talk about the news. Talk Radio 710 KCMO, Kansas City's talk station.
The following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
For your president. With this, he could have studied life on the other planets. Reports are coming in from all over the empire, from all over the world. The government has not yet issued any statement, but there seems to be no question that there actually is a large, unidentified object circling the Earth at incredible speed. Who's the greatest man in America today?
Mike Murphy!
All right, Chuck. Here we go. We have another few minutes with Christy Diamond from Seattle. And then we will have a... what is he? Is he an MD, Boyd Haley? Christy?
No, he's a scientist.
He's not an MD.
No.
He teaches...
But he has done a lot of work in the medical field with his research. He's done... just an incredible amount for one person of research on mercury and Gulf War disease and autism and vaccines. It's just an amazing that one person could do that. And I met him and I communicated with him by email and phone before, but I met him about a year ago in the congressional hearings. And Dan Burton, who was the chair of the Committee for Government Reform, had allowed three other congressmen who are also dentists in as guests. And Dr. Haley was one of the people who was testifying. And in one of these congressmen, one of our U.S. congressmen, who he's from the South. I can't remember his name. Dr. Haley probably remember, but he went after Dr. Haley. I mean, heavily. He said, "Well, now what are your qualifications?" He said, and so Dr. Haley started to list them off, and he could probably stand there for 3 hours.
I know. I'm just reading his. He's got every degree there is.
Yeah, he was so embarrassed that the next thing he says, he goes, "Oh, well, so you're a smart boy, eh?"
Yeah, he thought he was just some jack off the street, huh?
Yeah, he says, "Oh, you're some smart boy, eh?" And I'm thinking, is that the best you can come up with?
A smart boy, my God.
Smart boy. I was embarrassed to call this man a representative of the people.
Mm.
I mean, he wasn't my congressman, thank God. But it was like, we're actually paying taxpayers' dollars for this kind of mentality.
Hey, Christy, where can you get your video, Uninformed Consent?
It's available online.
Mercurius, Episode 1, Mercurius, Slow Death.
It's at www.uninformedconsent.com.
How much is it?
$29.95.
Are you selling any?
I am.
Good.
I'm selling quite a few. And those who want to buy in bulk, I'd make them a deal because I just want to get them information out.
Okay, let me get Lorraine in here for you. Lorraine?
Yes.
All right, you're on KCMO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for holding on there.
Sure. Christy, I wanted to ask you if you'd ever run into this in all your association with this problem. I have a condition, a neurological condition that affects mostly in my neck, causes head tremor and inappropriate pulling of the muscles in the neck?
I actually have, yeah.
Really?
There's a fancy name for that, isn't there?
Spasmodic torticollis.
Yeah. Most people would say that that's a combination of heavy metal poisonings and a jaw infection from an improperly extracted tooth or a root canal that's infected. And virtually all of them are infected because they're not done properly. The dentists just are not taught how to do them right, and so they go out of dental school. Root canals are just extraordinarily dangerous.
Uh-huh.
And the cavitations from extractions. Do you have a root canal or an extraction site?
Extraction. I've never had a root canal, but I have had an extraction.
Well, if they don't take the periodontal ligament out around the root of the tooth, and this is what they don't do correctly, they have to take a millimeter of tissue out. And it's just impossible to sterilize the spot, and if it doesn't heal up properly, the body will think there's still a tooth there because this fibrous membrane is still there, and it'll close over the top and it'll look just like it's healed, but in fact it starts to generate anaerobic bacteria like botulism is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very poisonous, and you've got a little highway with your nerves and your arteries going through your jaw, and it just travels through the rest of your body, and you probably have some of that infection traveling into your neck. Now, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not diagnosing you, but that's what the general consensus is,
right,
with those types of problems.
Right, and it's interesting that this condition in its severe form is actually treated with botulism. With injections.
It is?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's because they want to paralyze the muscle, right?
Right, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've never had that done. My condition isn't that severe, but what would you suggest?
I would never do that.
Oh, no. I have no intention of doing that. I'm going many other routes.
What you need to do is to find somebody who can clean that site out for you. And if you want to email me on my site and tell me where you're located, I could probably rustle up somebody that I think has the knows the protocols for doing that.
Because okay,
it is pretty dicey.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure. How do I email you?
You go onto my site, uninformedconsent.com.
Okay.
And there's email links at the bottom of all the pages.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just email the QCI at oz.net. Or you can call me if you want to. It's 425-487-2358. And I'd be happy to talk to you more about it.
Would you give me your number again? I'm sorry.
It's 425-487-2358.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Are you?
We can help you.
Good weekend, Lorraine.
Okay. Thank you.
What do you know about dental implants?
A little. Enough that I know I don't want them. There was some hope that you could put them in with if you used titanium, but usually I think previously they were using stainless steel, which is nickel, which is a known carcinogen, so we don't want to do that. But typically what happens is the body tries to reject these things. And with an already compromised immune system, which, over 90% of the population is there, they're going to reject it, and it's going to cause, severe health problems. Depending on what nerve meridian is going through that particular tooth will be which nerve it travels down and what disease it's going to cause.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about fish? What are you doing with fish? Do you eat fish?
I try not to, but God, you know, Mike, I really love salmon.
Oh, I know it. I know it's hard to give it up.
And every once in a while I'll have it, but I pay the price. I get like flu-like symptoms for about 2 or 3 days.
Well, how bad do you think the fish pollution is in the world?
I think that it's alarming, like off the scale alarming. And I think that it's kind of like a 12-step meeting, you know? We've got to come to step one and admit there's a problem. We got to quit arguing about whether a poison is a poison, and we've got to address the problem. If we started today and established a revision detoxification clinic in every hospital in the United States, and health insurance would cover a portion of that, and people would start getting better, and we started addressing the environmental issues where mercury has been dumped. And, you know, in Washington State, the Department of Ecology has determined through national statistics that dental offices are in the top three polluters in our waterways at 400 pounds per year, along with coal burning and fluorescent light tubes. Can you imagine that? It's never, ever mentioned. They mention coal burning, they mention fluorescent light tubes, but they never mention the waste from dental offices.
Goodness. Well, I tell you, I've heard a lot of stuff here this morning that I've never heard before, and I'm sure our listeners have too. And you come back on the show again.
I'd love to.
And I'm looking forward to having Dr. Haley on with me in the next hour.
He is a great guy.
Thanks for putting us with that.
Well, you have him on again.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Christy, you have a great weekend.
You too, Mike.
And we'll talk to you again down the road, okay?
Okay.
And let us know about this. To do it. Email us back, will you?
Oh, absolutely.
I want to hear what kind of reaction you get.
Okay.
All right. Have a great weekend.
You too, Mike.
All right, bye. It's 10:15 on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Right now, it's Mike Murphy on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
In morning, and this is kind of a down show for Friday. I hate to put you in a worrisome mood over the weekend when you're going into Friday and the weekend with stuff like this. But that's what we have. It's fascinating, and I'm glad there are people that'll talk about all these things. So we have Dr. Boyd Haley here with us. He has all these degrees in chemistry and physics. And postdoctoral in physiology in Yale University Medical School. And it says beside all of the great medical degrees or science degrees he has, he's a good guy. So, Boyd, are you there?
I'm there.
How's Boyd today?
Oh, he's fine.
Good.
Fine.
Where are you?
I'm in the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. I'm the chairman.
Well, where is that? Where's the university?
In Lexington, Kentucky.
Like down with the horses.
That's right. It's the horse country.
You ever go out to there see the horses?
I certainly do. As a matter of fact, that's part of the reason I came here is I had a family that grew up with horses, and we moved here, and I have a small horse farm south of Lexington that, you know, I raised my children on. And
is that right?
Yeah.
Good. Did you ever hear of a horse called Perfect Drift?
Yeah, probably, but I can't remember him.
Well, he's a horse from Kansas City that's they say he's the greatest horse in the world right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he just won the Kentucky Classic over at Turfway a couple of weeks ago, and he's just a great horse. Kentucky is great country.
Yes, it is. Good people and good university.
You betcha. I just had Christy Diamond on the show.
Yes, I know Christy well.
And we had a great time, and she just scared the bejesus out of people, me too, with all these things about mercury poisoning and poisoned all the oceans with poisoned fish. And now we have the Gulf War poison, the Gulf War syndrome. I started doing. Did you ever hear of Joyce Riley?
No, I haven't.
She started this Gulf War thing about whenever that was, 12 years ago, that the vaccinations were poisoning our soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what have you done? Where are you in all of this?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I'm a real hardcore research scientist.
Yeah.
I mean, I go after things that I can measure, and and I, you know, to put everybody at ease, I don't have any autistic children or any Alzheimer's disease in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And how I got into this was I invented a technology called, and you'll never remember it, but nucleotide photoffinity labeling was supported by NIH for about 27 years. And with this, you can look at a diseased tissue and a normal tissue and see major biochemical differences. If there's a difference there, you'll find it.
Is that right?
And so what this allows you to do is to take a normal tissue and say, well, if this is a disease caused by a toxic exposure, can we add toxin to the normal tissue, like, you know, expose a rat to mercury vapor or add mercury to a brain tissue and see if the changes resemble that that you see in Alzheimer's disease or Parkinson's or other diseases. And to make a long story short, about 12 years ago, we started doing these studies, and we found major biochemical aberrancies in Alzheimer's disease brain. And no one disagrees with us that those aberrancies, I mean, don't exist. I mean, other people have repeated our research and have found the same thing.
Okay, then where's Alzheimer's coming from then? Can you pin it down?
Right now, look, first of all, people can understand Alzheimer's disease is not genetically inherited.
All right, so it's
a major form of it.
It's acquired.
You might have a susceptibility to it. It's like alcoholism. If you don't drink, you're never going to be an alcoholic. In Alzheimer's disease, if you don't get exposed to the toxin, you're not going to get the disease.
Is that right?
And that was established by following 500 sets of identical twins from World War II.
Okay, so
it was genetic. You know, both twins would get the disease, and they didn't.
Okay, so it's totally acquired.
Right. And if you look at it, the rate is the same in California as it is in Maine, as it is in Minnesota versus Florida. It doesn't make any difference if you look at people from the city, the country, the suburbs, or wherever. You know, in this country, the rate isn't that much different, no matter where the people are located.
Okay, then it's coming from something like what?
Something very personal, like something you put in your mouth or something you inject into your body.
And that everybody does.
That everybody does.
Okay.
You have a genetic susceptibility plus a very personal exposure level.
Okay, what is that, then, that everybody does?
The thing we found out with the aberrant bio, you know, when we looked at the chemistry, we went through all the heavy metals to see if any of them worked. That was our first choice because there was a big concern about aluminum. And what we found is that mercury and only mercury will mimic the biochemical aberrancies and produce the diagnostic hallmarks that we see in Alzheimer's disease.
It's only mercury?
Only mercury will do it. Now, with that in mind, if somebody is also toxic with lead, it takes a lot less mercury to cause that effect.
How do you get lead?
Oh, drinking water,
okay.
Paint.
All right, yeah.
Exposures from gas, depending on where you live. Cadmium also is the same thing. You get cadmium from being a cigarette smoker. And there was an article from Holland that showed that of the people who got Alzheimer's, smoking wasn't related to Alzheimer's disease in any way they could find. But if you took just the people who did get Alzheimer's disease, those that smoked got the disease 7 years earlier.
Hmm.
So there you have the genetic susceptibility and the synergistic enhancement of toxicity with something like cadmium.
They had thought that it was from aluminum from frying pans. That's where it was coming from, but it's not aluminum.
No, that's been disproven several by other people than myself. But my results say aluminum doesn't have much to do with it.
Okay, then where are they getting the aluminum from, or the mercury from?
From their dental amalgams. Look, studies, there have been studies all over the world, and this is what really aggravates me, and that's that the Food and Drug Administration, the American Dental Association, and all the state dental associations have their heads stuck where the sun don't shine with regard to evaluating this data. NIH, the World Health Organization, and numerous universities have published data absolutely showing and consistent with each other that the major mercury level of mercury in the normal human body is from their dental amalgams, not from seafood.
Okay, but people that don't have any fillings in their teeth are safe.
You can't totally say that. If they don't have any teeth in their, if they don't have any amalgams, they probably are a lot safer. But if there's somebody who don't have any teeth, you have to say, well, when did that mercury get in their body? You see, there have been studies, depending on who you believe, that state that when mercury gets inside your brain, it stays there anywhere from 27 to 40 years.
Ooh.
In certain compartments. Now, you'll clear some of it very quickly, but some of it stays there for a long, long time.
Well, I thought, as I remembered it, they came out about 5, 6, 7 years ago and said, stuff is poison, dentists are not going to use it anymore.
That's been recommended to the dentists a lot, but then the American Dental Association, if you go to their website, will tell you there's no proof that amalgams or the mercury from amalgams is toxic.
Well, you just, in your studies, have proved it.
In my opinion, yes. They will say that my data doesn't count. You know, what they want to see is that can we take several hundred people that put a lot of amalgams in them and watch them get Alzheimer's disease. You know, when any time you have a disease where a small percentage of the population is susceptible, it's very difficult by just looking at the whole population in general to find something that's causal. And the perfect example would be tobacco and cancer, even though that rate was higher. There were a lot of people that said, well, look, I smoked, and I'm 90 years old, and I got cancer, so therefore cigarettes aren't capable of causing cancer, and yet somebody down the road could get lung cancer when they're 30.
Okay, well, what do you know about that, then? What do you know about cancer?
And cancer, I was in the cancer center for a long time, but cancer and in effect make the animal develop cancer.
Okay, but it seems like everybody you know or everybody you talk to, your uncles and your aunts and everybody's got cancer now. It's like nobody doesn't have it.
I appreciate the concern there, but it's not an area that I've been studying in the last 10 years.
Okay, what about the environment and what about the oceans and what about the fish?
The major, if you come into these inland lakes, you know, away from the ocean, the major contributor to mercury in those lakes and streams is coming from the dental operatories.
Well, that's what Christy said, and I've never heard that before.
Well, there's a lot you won't hear about the amount of mercury coming from dental amalgams, because there are a lot of people that have a lot of money that don't want the American public to know that the major exposure they're getting, 80% or better of the mercury, you know, floating in their bodies is coming from the amalgams they have, and the other 20% primarily is coming from the mercury that they've already had come out of their bodies, going into the toilets, going to the, you know, the septic treatment plants, and then they take that sewage, the solid sewage, and they spread it out on the farmland, and it washes into the watersheds and into the lakes. And it's mainly coming from, a lot of it's coming from the amalgam fillings. Now, I'm not trying to excuse, the chloralkali plants that use a lot of mercury. They're a problem that we're addressing. But to say anybody that's living in Lincoln, Nebraska, where's the major mercury coming from that in that person? It's going to be coming from their dental amalgams. Either primarily coming right through the mouth as they breathe the vapors that come off of those amalgam fillings, or by the fact that when they process that and it gets into the water system, it ends up in the lakes and in the fish that they're eating.
Okay, now what about the dental stuff that they put in the water supply to keep you from getting cavities?
Oh, fluoride?
Fluoride.
Well,
how did that get in all the water supplies, and we're mass medicated with that stuff?
Yeah.
We don't have any choice whether we want it or not.
That's right. Well, I think that's something that's been pushed by the American Dental Association also.
Well, how'd they get that so everybody has it in their water, whether they want it or not?
It's concentrated money in people who were, and perhaps they thought they were right. Because, there is something, one can argue about the use of fluoride by putting it directly onto teeth. But to put it in all the water and everything we drink, all of a sudden we're getting very little effect and a hell of a toxic exposure.
It's a toxic poison.
It sure is. I'm going to tell you, Mike, what the major problem is. The National Institutes of Dental and Craniofacial Research that regulates most of our dentistry in this country is totally independent and not associated with the National Institutes of Health. So we have successfully, or the dentist has successfully, taken dentistry away from medicine. They have no regulation and no bodies that contain a lot of medical knowledge that regulate what they do in our mouths or what they recommend, for preventing cavities. They can put anything in your mouth you want, and you'll see many times that gold and mercury will be side by side in the mouth,
mm-hmm.
preventing, making the equivalent of a battery, and you get galvanic dissolution of the amalgam more rapidly in the mouth of that. The dentistry in this country is really, in my opinion, primarily devoid of any type of analytical chemistry or analytical.
Okay, where's all the money? Always go to the money. Where is it? Who's the money?
The money is in the American Dental Association, which is a trade organization, and the fact that trade organization, I think, in my opinion, successfully manipulates and directs the Food and Drug Administration, dental branch, and the National Institutes of Dental Cranial Facial Research to do things and come up with decisions that they like.
All right. What about hair dye and stuff like that?
There's a lot of these things. If you take them one by one, there's some of them that are just too toxic to be out on the market.
Now, there's aluminum in those things, aren't there?
There's a lot of different metals and a lot of different products. I do think the Food and Drug Administration has done a decent job of getting a lot of it out, but they certainly haven't got it all out.
So you can get it through your hair, or?
Well, it's not as likely to get into your body by using it on your hair, but it's still not a good idea.
Okay, what about having Botox, botulism, shot into your face?
Well, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I can't, how the hell could they? Can they do that? The world's most deadly poison, and these women can't get enough of it.
Well, it's part of the vanity issue. People will do things more for vanity than they will for health. They'll look at the way it makes them look today more than they will look at their total health effect. And the thing about this Botox, it will be quite interesting to see how these people end up, you know, after we've been doing this for 20 years.
My goodness.
I think they may regret it.
You wouldn't do it, would you?
No, I wouldn't. I know a lot about botulinum toxin, and I wouldn't inject it into my body at all.
How deadly is it?
Well, it's very deadly if you get it. I mean, I think the doctors that do this know that they're not putting in enough to kill those people immediately, but they may be causing changes that the patient will pay for later on. It's just like putting in breast implants, you know, that probably is the minute you get through and for maybe a month afterwards, you know, they look, it gives a good, you know, makes you more attractive, but at some time you can find out that it's going to be something it's not going to be good for.
Oh, Nelly. Boyd, you're a great man.
Well, I'm not a great man. No, I'm just somebody, you know, I mean, I do have a conscience. I had a mother that raised me with a conscience. And what I, you know, would tell the public out there, you don't have to be an outstanding scientist to look at this. This is common farm boy logic, you know, common sense. You know, mercury is the most toxic metal known to man.
Well, yeah, but...
Because and so just don't put it in infants on the day they're born. I mean, they've given us a 714% increase in autism in the last 10 years.
I was going to ask you about that, where that all came from.
Well, you know...
Listen, I've got to break and do some news. I'll be about 2 or 3 minutes here, and we'll come back, okay?
Sounds good.
All right. Boyd Haley, professor and chair, the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky, here with me on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Mike Murphy on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Okay, we're talking about mercury poisoning, your fillings in your teeth. We started out with Christy Diamond today from Seattle. And then she put us with Dr. Boyd Haley, professor and chairman of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky, who is sensational, here with us now for the remainder of the show. Boyd, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, you're going to talk a little bit about autism and
well, yes,
kids.
You know what, you know, the argument that, you know, that happened is we've had this tremendous increase, you know, in many states over 1,000% increase.
Oh, yeah.
Since 1980 of autism. And the indication that it was caused by the mandated vaccine policy is that, you know, the increase in the rate of autism went up when they compared it to the amount of mercury that these children were being exposed to from the vaccines. I came along, I was a medic in the military in 1964. I mean, a leg medic, not a doctor, not a physician, but just a regular medic. And I got a lot of vaccinations, and consequently, I was made allergic, or I respond violently to exposure to thimerosal. I can't take a vaccination or wear contact lenses with the thimerosal in those solutions. And so I made a proposal to the Institute of Medicine that if vaccines were indeed the cause, which I didn't know for sure at that time, that the causal element would be the mercury in the vaccine in the form of thimerosal, a compound that releases ethyl mercury, which is a very neurotoxic compound. We now have this big war going on, more or less. It's a PR war more than a science war, because the science clearly shows that if these children, that thimerosal is totally capable of doing this type of damage. And when we measured the mercury in the birth hair of autistic children versus control children, the differences were dramatic. And it showed that these children do not excrete mercury very effectively.
Okay, tell me this. Why is it mandatory for kids entering school now to get these vaccinations, and why is it mandatory for all of our service people to get these things, or they go to jail? Why is that?
Well, I wish I could give you the answer, but I guess, you know, you'd have to say that there's just somebody either that's incredibly incompetent, is forcing this with good intentions, or somebody's just doing it to make money. And it's even worse than that. The babies in the United States, you know, a few years back, were being vaccinated against hepatitis B on the day they were born.
No.
That's been the major, and exposed to, you know, anywhere, depending upon their weight, you know, 30 to 60 times more mercury than EPA would say was safe.
On the day they were born?
On the day they were born. And to show you the emphasis of that, if you look at the rate of autism in Denmark, in a publication that just came out, they now have they've had kind of an increased rate, which they interpret kind of bizarrely, in my opinion. But they don't give their children vaccinations until they're at one time 5 months old. at the early stage. Now they're going down to 5 weeks. But their rate of autism is something, you know, right now today about 3 per 10,000. In this country, it's up around 67 per 10,000. And so we've, you know, and we're the ones that are in the United States that really, you know, increased the total number of vaccines and thusly the total number of, the total amount of exposure to ethyl mercury, which is the toxin that I think causes autism.
Okay, what about right now? There's a big push. There's a big push to get your flu shots.
Well, when you take your, I think people need to be wise about this. If you're not very, if you're not feeling healthy and you're not really well, you'd better be very careful because the flu shots contain thimerosal, and you know, and there's this balance. And I'll be very honest with you. I don't know what the balance between the risk of getting very ill from a flu shot or how ill you get. You know, if you get the flu, and what the effect of the thimerosal might have on that particular individual, I don't think that's really known yet. But I think the safe thing to do to be, and I'm very pro vaccination, by the way. I raise horses. If you live on a farm, you know vaccinations keep animals from getting sick. However, make them safe. And I would also point out with that, in 1992, they took the mercury out of the vaccinations they gave to cats and dogs because it was causing them to have severe problems, including dying.
But they're still putting it in the ones they give to human beings.
Yes, we still put it in a lot of them.
But not in the animals.
Well, I've been told that in 1992, they took it out of most animal vaccinations.
Well, that's odd, isn't it?
Well, it's a matter of dollars again. You know, you can't survive if you're killing your animals, or you know, if you're a veterinarian, you're not going to keep in business long if somebody brings in their pet and your vaccinations kill it.
What about the swine flu? Remember that?
Yes, I do. I got it.
What was that all about?
That was just a virus that had very little to do with vaccinations. I don't think it was just a virus that. That spread throughout the world, you know, starting.
Did you say you got it?
A lot of people got sick at that time. So I was quite young, but yes, I got the swine flu.
Man, well, did it hit?
Swine flu?
Yeah.
Well, I was pretty certain that it did. I mean, I was quite young at that time.
Well, no, I'm talking about the one that came when Gerald Ford was president.
Well, that one probably is not the one that I got. I mean, I'm probably thinking about a different flu then.
Yeah, this was the one where they said everybody's got to get a swine flu vaccination, and it never came. We never had swine flu, and everybody got sick from the shots.
Yes. Well, the vaccines, you know, they can have bizarre effects, and I think that a lot of it depends on the nature of the protein in the vaccine as well as the toxin.
Okay, Boyd, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back, and we'll wrap her up, okay?
Okay.
So anything you want to do when we get back... you think in your skull what you want to do, and you can do it right here on this show.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, back with Boyd Haley, and he is professor and chair of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky, here with me on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
The who and how much of business comes your way during the 710 KCMO Kansas City Star Business Report. This afternoon, 5 to 7 during 710 KCMO Afternoon News on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Wrapping it up here with Boyd Haley, professor and chair, Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky. Boyd, are you there?
Yes, I am.
What are you going to do this weekend, Boyd?
I'm probably going to be in here working on some research papers.
What are you doing right now? What are you? Are you making any headway in all of this?
Well, you know, yes. You know, there's a congressional bill that's sponsored by Dan Burton from Indiana and Diane Watson from California. It's H.R. 1680. That phases out the use of amalgams in the United States. This has already been occurring in, Sweden. I mean, they've totally out, you know, more or less abolished it totally, and will even pay to have your amalgams replaced because they think the people will be safer. So I would just try to, if your people are listening, you know, read about how, this bill. And read about the effect and the science on mercury. Go to the ADA website, listen to what they say, and then go to some of the anti-amalgam websites and look at the difference in the science.
Okay, what is
this congressional bill?
What's the most dangerous? What is the most deadly poison on Earth?
Well, that's really kind of hard to come up with. It would probably be when you say that, you say, well, how much are you exposed to? Which one's the most threat to the entire population? at large, you know, the ones that are walking down that aren't going out and dealing with rattlesnakes or going to places where they have botulism. The major thing is we're intoxicating this world with mercury.
Okay.
The main reason is mercury is an element. You can't break it down and you can't get rid of it, you know, very easily.
How old are you, Boyd?
63.
Okay. You remember when you were in high school and taking chemistry?
Yes.
And the teacher said, here, take this mercury and pour it in your hand, and you poured it from one hand into the other one. Didn't you do that?
I did things very similar to that, yes.
And you know, I did that all through high school.
Right.
In all my classes.
Right.
Take that mercury out. Now, what did that do to us, if anything?
Well, it depended on whether they dropped it on the floor in the chemistry laboratory where you worked, and you had to sit in there, and how many classes you took in there, and how much that vapor would come out into the air, and how much you would breathe.
Nobody knew a damn thing about that then, did they?
They knew something about it. They knew that mercury vapor was toxic, but you know, the thing is, it's a very slow and insidious poison, and that's the reason mercury is so toxic. You know, is that it's a liquid. That means it doesn't form very strong metallic bonds, so it vaporizes, and you breathe it, and it's only when you breathe it and it gets inside your body that is converted to the toxic form.
Well, do you ever think about you when you used to handle it like I did, that it got
yes,
you?
Certainly did. And it was a very bad idea. And matter of fact, if we find children today that find mercury, say, in there was a case in Texas where they found several pounds in an abandoned factory somewhere, and they got that not only themselves intoxicated with mercury, but part of the school, because they took it to school and they spilled it all over the place. Today, if one of my students were to break a thermometer in the laboratory classroom, I would have to evacuate that floor and call in OSHA.
Is that right?
Yes.
My goodness.
We do not appreciate that, and that's the reason it went on for so long, that, you know, if I were to expose you to a very toxic level of mercury right now, it may be a week or 2 weeks before you'd show any effects. So people never correlated the effects of mercury toxicity to the mercury, because it didn't happen, you know, like it would if you took cyanide. You'd drop dead immediately, you know.
Yeah.
Mercury is a slow, insidious toxin. So it's it kind of passed, you know, the awareness of many people, especially.
I'll be darned. All right. Do you have a website or something?
Yes, I do. It's called testfoundation.com. TESTFOUNDATION.
Do you respond to...
Not org. Pardon me. It's an organization, not a company.
Do you respond to people?
I try to, but I really can't, because, I get over 100 emails a day, right?
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
And this is mainly because of the fights and the things that people call me. For example, in the New York Times article about 2 or 3 days ago about the Gulf War soldiers being 2 to 3 times more likely to get ALS than other people, indicating that that the exposure to the Gulf was the cause. And in there they mentioned that these people were, they said they think the cause was exposure to chemical warfare, sarin gas, in a couple of the articles. And that tells you how preposterous it is. There nowhere has anyone ever found during either Gulf War that the Iraqi used any toxic or chemical warfare agent.
It come from that vaccine.
And that's what I'm telling people, yet our government doesn't want to admit that and doesn't want to look at that.
Well, no, because...
So they come up with a preposterous statement like, well, it's due to the chemical warfare that occurred in Iraq. And you know, if chemical warfare had occurred in Iraq, George Bush would be talking about it a lot right now as a justification for what we did, and he doesn't, and so he's just being honest. There wasn't any chemical warfare, and the Air Force officers that flew off of the battleships got this disease or got this effect as much as anybody that served on the sand in Iraq, and that tells you it's not landing in Iraq, and it was nothing that came from Iraq that caused this disease. It was something we did to our own, plus the French soldiers who did not take the American vaccinations. Did not get Gulf War.
Well, what are they, just guinea pigs then for the big drug companies to experiment with their stuff?
No, I think what it is, it's military efficiency. I mean, when I got my vaccinations, they lined up, not the company, but I think a battalion of soldiers and ran them all through and shot them all at one time. And they want, you know, if they line you up, the military and their efficiency would give you, 6 or 7 or 9 vaccinations, you know, in one pass-through in one day. Instead of letting you get 2 one day and 2 the next, that disrupted their training program. So they give these people a large number of vaccinations at one time, and certain people just can't handle it. And that's my opinion. That's my working hypothesis right now. And I'll give that up when they come up with a better one.
Okay, Boyd, it's been great to have you on the show here.
Okay, it was nice talking to you.
I would look forward to having you back again sometime. Whenever you need to want to jump on something, you jump on me, all right?
Okay.
Okay, Boyd, now you have a good time and a great weekend. Say hello to your horse for me.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thanks a lot. And there goes a good man, Boyd Haley, professor and chair. Man, is this guy smart. He got degrees from every university in the world, Yale and everything, and taught chemistry at the University of at Yale and all over the place, and now is the chair in the University of Kentucky. Well, that's it. It's 10:55 on Talk Radio 710 KCMO.
Talk Radio 710 KCMO means opinion.